The Old Testament reading this morning is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. You can find that on page 658 of your pew Bible. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Anytime a reading starts with the words, but now, doesn't it just beg us to look at what came before? We have to investigate the context. Something happened, something is going on, but now things are different. It signifies a contrast. What is happening now is different from what came before. Consider the end of the chapter just before our reading. It's the 6th century BC, and the Israelites are scattered. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has conquered Israel, taken over Jerusalem, and sent the people to Babylon in exile. This is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are trapped in holes, Isaiah says, hidden in prisons. They have become a prey with no one to rescue them. He goes on, they were a spoil with no one to say, restore. They had sinned against the Lord, so he poured on them the heat of his anger and the fury of war. The Israelites felt abandoned by their God. They felt that their God had somehow been defeated by the God of Babylon. Surely they worried about what would happen next. Surely they worried whether they, as God's chosen people, would even continue to exist. Hopefully we'll never face the magnitude of war and desolation and physical exile that's described here. But certainly there are times in our lives when we share these same kinds of worries with the Israelites, when we face an exile of our own that is no less anxious, no less painful. We might feel like we are trapped in holes or hidden in prisons, that we have become prey with no one to rescue us. This could be the hole of an illness or death that has stricken someone that we care for. Could be the prison of grief over a loss that we can't come to accept. It could be that we are the prey of pressure at work or bullying at school. Maybe we've created an exile of our own doing, severing or damaging relationships with those that we love, so that we can search for some ambiguous happiness that we think will come from having more choices or more options, but that we're not sure that we'll ever really achieve. It could be the exile of not being able to figure out who we really are, what we're supposed to be doing. Or maybe it too is a forced exile from a vocation that we dearly love, but that because of the economy, we find severely reduced opportunities to practice it. Israel's situation here might be larger scale than what we face, but we're not unfamiliar with what they must have felt. But now there is a change. But now you have been redeemed by the one who created you, by the one who formed you. Isaiah reminds them, the one who created you by sending you to Egypt has redeemed you. The one who created you by freeing you from slavery and leading you to the promised land has not forgotten you. The one who sent you into exile is still with you. We may be in exile, but there is a promise. God is with us in that exile. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. When you pass through waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. God remembered his people in Egypt, heard their suffering, and delivered them. He remembers his people as they are scattered in exile in Babylon. He is with them through the exile. He is with us through exile. You know, we are not promised that we won't face exile. Often we face problems in our lives that seem to separate us from God's grace, and we wonder why it's happening to us. After all, we think, I'm a good person. I try to do the right thing. Why is God letting this happen to me? I thought if I straightened out my life and started going to church that things were supposed to work out better. But that is not the promise of our Christian faith. It's not the promise of this passage either. God promises to be with them, each of them, as they go through fire. God promises to be with them as they go through water. Though they're scattered in exile, though they feel abandoned, God is still with them and is about to gather them. They do not need to be afraid. God will not claim Israel as his own. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God claims the Israelites in this water, just as he claims Jesus in his baptism, and as he claims each of us in our baptisms. We may be scattered in exile and feel abandoned, but we do not need to be afraid. God is with us. Though we go through fire, we will not be burned. As we pass through water, God will be with us. And not only is God with us, entering our world and living in our neighborhood, as Dwight talked about last week, but God also promises a future gathering. In this future gathering of God's people, they are called from east and west and north and south. For the Israelites, it was the return to Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the temple and the future day of the Lord. We too anticipate that future day of the Lord, the day that we will be gathered from east and west and north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. This four-square calling and gathering is foreshadowed in the Eucharist meal that we are about to celebrate. The Lord's Supper always harkens our attention back to the cross 2,000 years ago. Through it, we reenact the past. Through it, we remember and we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Through it, we relive the past. But the Lord's Supper does more than that. It affects the present. It affects the present as it joins us together as the body of Christ. It tells us through all of our senses, sight and touch and taste and smell, what we hear in the Word, that God is with us. It tells us not only who we are, but whose we are. It affects us today. And it points to the future. It points to a future where we will be gathered from the farthest place, all of us, from north and south and east and west, where we will no longer feel exiled from God's love, exiled from the home where we will experience the peace of God, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. Thanks be to God.